Welcome, everybody. So welcome, everybody, back to Veil of Sound. It's our regular interview Sunday here, and I think this is a first for us because I think we have not had the pleasure of talking to a band from Asia. And I'm very, very happy to have Paint the Sky Red here with us. So guys, first of all, thanks for joining.
Thank you for having us. We are also proud to be the first Asian band.
Just for everybody who might not know too much about the band, can you please quickly say who is who and who does what in the band, so to speak? Like, introduce yourself.
Okay. I play bass,
Fami, drummer, and Yasin, bassist.
I'm Hakim, and I play guitar and the sounds.
Yes.
So, guys, we have to talk about your new record, Tamat. First of all, congratulations. I think it's a really, really good record. What I like about it is that you go from Caspian to Russian circles in roughly 10 seconds, sometimes.
Yeah. You know, maybe that's the idea.
Thought so. Could you say, like, are there like influences on the record where you say, like, okay, those two, three bands really influenced us on this record?
I wouldn't say best, but when we started off, I think it has always been exposure in the sky as a common interest and influence for all of us. Mono. Then mono, yeah. So
deep set,
yeah. For this particular album, there wasn't any band that we look up to. But as far as our sounds is concerned, we have always been we look up to that. Yeah, those bands, Explosions, Mono, and yeah,
that will destroy you.
Yeah. And for me, yes, I have a personal interest in Caspian. So then each of them of us, one of them also has their own particular band that they like. But as a band, I think it's always been Explosions and this guy as our reference.
I think something to add, so our influences are not really just post-rock. We also are influenced by alternative music and also some oldies from our childhood. Yeah, so I think I'm exposed to bands like Mew, indie band Mew from Denmark, Radiohead and all that. I think Fami also, Block Party. So we have a fusion of alternative elements and post-rock and as well as any melodies that we can come up with based on our studio sessions. Yeah.
What is very, very interesting is also the amazing, let's say, clarity, because very often we have, or very often here we get bands or we get promos for bands who play post-rock, and then there is this tiny problem that for production just doesn't fit. But on Tamat, it is very, very well produced. Did you guys produce it yourself, or who is responsible for this very, very good quality, sound quality?
Okay, I think arrangement-wise for the songs, we did, yes.
We did. All of us
had an input, and that's what we wanted the song to sound. As for the recording proper, we had this
engineer
who is from Malaysia. So we went over to Malaysia to his studio, and he is quite popular among the indie scene in Malaysia. So he did a recording for a few bands in Malaysia that we liked. And during our session with him, we kind of like talked to him what kind of sound we are heading for. And yeah, he really managed to achieve what we were looking for in terms of sounds, the drums, the guitars, experimenting with different kind of amps.
I would say the engineer is our so-called fifth member.
Yeah.
For the best
album.
Yeah. So the thing is about us, every album, even our previous album, we try to choose different engineers to work on it. So to have a different, you know, texture to the whole
different perspective.
Perspective, yeah. So for this time, for Taman is we chose Malay, the engineer in Malaysia to do it for us. So yeah,
we actually didn't really know his technical expertise. We just chose him because he sounded like a really great guy to work with, and we just wanted to have a good experience. Mm-hmm. So we went there. He was really a really nice guy, and he was very open to our ideas. Technically, we are not able to know what how to achieve a certain sound. We just say we want him to have feel like this open, tight, and all that. So we just describe to him these simple terms, and with his knowledge, he was able to give us what we want due to his recording techniques,
his experience,
and he also added certain certain philosophy. Yeah, because the engineer that we work with, he has his own personal philosophy to use outboard gear. He does not use plugins. He does not use VSTs. He does not. Nah, he does not even have a. No, the drum samples to overlay the drums.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So everything was pretty plug in raw, and EQing was done through varying of microphone techniques. Yeah. Reverb was done by using room reverb, and he even used a microphone in the hallway of the stairs to add the ambience. So well, we were quite amazed by his ability to give us the sound that we want without complicating things through software and all that. Yeah. So it's quite an experience for us. Yeah.
And how long did the recording then take? How long were you in Malaysia?
Yeah, we were in Malaysia for 10 days.
Okay.
So we took 10 days straight recording.
Yes.
Yeah.
But beforehand, we already prepared what parts.
Yeah,
the structure of the songs, each song.
Pre-production. We did for about 2 to 3 days in Singapore, in Mami's house. Then 10 days solid recording, mixing, and mastering.
Yes.
So how long did the whole process?
Actually, quite surprised that the quality is 2 weeks. 2 weeks.
No, no.
Weeks,
what I meant, like, how long did the whole process of getting the songs together? How long did all of that take? Because the songs are really well laid out and very intricate. So I figure it's not something that you wrote within like a few weeks or months. So how long was the whole process of writing and everything?
I thought it was the recording part. Well, 10 days.
Yeah.
But the song took years.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because we have some songs which we had the idea maybe a few years back, maybe 5 years or 6 years back.
Okay, I think,
and we unearthed these songs back to life.
I think what we did for Taman, something differently, is we didn't straight away go to the studio and practice. We listened to our previous recordings of what we have recorded during our practice, and listen to songs, or rather parts of a song that we think could be made into a final song. So there were a few that we looked back, hey, this sounds good. So a few songs from Taman were of that kind of process. Yeah, we listened to old recordings and we thought that we could do this as a finished song.
Another aspect was during the lockdown or the COVID 2020, I think I had some melodies which I just played at home when I recorded, matched that with the band. Then Pami would add some drum tracks over it. Then we would have some idea, but it's not the whole song, just parts of it. Mm-hmm. So when lockdown was over in 2020, we got back to the studio and we started to piece together what works and what doesn't work, and we stretched certain parts and we cut certain parts, and then a lot of trial and error. So from 2020, yeah, I think about three years, yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting when you say like we made the songs longer, because I think if I remember correctly, the shortest song is still more than 7 minutes, right? Those guys are taking their time.
Carry away. Because some songs we do not want it to end there. We feel like you could add a few little bit more. And just a little bit more.
Yeah. And after the last little bit more, you're like, oh, maybe just another minute. We also, of course, have to talk about the position of a record in, let's say, your whole body of records. Tamat, it means, if I remember correctly, it means something like finished. Yes. And finished, yes. Again, can have a lot of meaning in English. You know, it's still an ambiguous word with more than one layer. Finished can mean like, okay, I'm done. I'm wasted. I cannot do anything more, like physically wasted. Or it could also mean, okay, this is the final point. What is tamat for you? Is it, oh, we're exhausted, or no, we have finished what we wanted to say?
Okay, I think the decision that was made was quite a tough one, because we were at a stage where we were doing quite well, getting shows, and people kept asking us to play shows, and we realized that our songs, our repertoire of songs, were getting too much for us to choose which songs to play for certain shows. And we end up disappointing certain people who would ask for this song, that song, and song, and we can't play, right? Yeah. That made us think like, okay, so what are we going to do? If we have new songs, are we still going to play just the old songs because that's what people want? Or something like that? Because people would tend to ask us to play songs from the previous albums and so on, which is normal. But since we only have like 45 minutes, an hour, we can't squeeze so many songs in a
You couldn't even play Tamat in full. You couldn't even play Tamat in full.
So our idea as a band is like, although we enjoy making music, but we want to have more experiences live. You want to perform live more. You want to develop those memories. You want to reach out to the audience more. And that is our goal, actually. So being friends or members who don't do this for a living, we need to prioritize our resources. We need to prioritize our time. And we decided that, okay, we would like to take our music further. We like to play in places that we have never played before, if possible. And we like to divert our resources fully, like our money, our financials, because we're independent band, our time, to explore new experiences. And if we were to continue creatively making music and juggling tour, we wouldn't be able to do anything, because everything would be just halfway. Making records, making songs is I think the first reason why we started. But we realized that we have our limits in terms of ability. We are not musically trained. None of us are musically trained. It's really just trial and error. We can't tell a chord from another. It's just what works. And so the processes usually take very long for us to be fully satisfied with a song. So that can have a toll on us physically, psychologically, because we have to wait to the next session. And we realized that when we started off, we would meet every week. When we don't have our families, we were just
single.
So we would meet every week. And meeting every week made it very productive, made us really get the songs that we want quickly. And we could perform tighter as a band because we met every week. But as we grow, I think we have, life happens. We have our jobs and we are moving up in the senior level in our jobs. We have families, our children, and we want to find the best balance between our own lives, our work life, and our life as a band. So something has to go, right? Something has to go. Either we stop performing and we just become a studio band, which could be maybe later on. But at this point of time, we still have the energy, we still have the drive to perform, to play shows. So we rather divert the resources for performances, either local, regional, or overseas. Then creatively also, we decide that, we look at several bands out there, especially professional bands, they go through a stage where they do what they really want, then they end up doing what the industry wants, what is trending. Then they'll start to lose fans who have been loving their previous work.
Yeah, earlier work.
Yeah, their earlier works. Then they realize they have to come back to the original. And we don't want to make that journey where we lose ourselves and have to find a way back. That might take many years. And I think by then we'll all be out of gas. So we don't want to have that natural transition to end up making songs that we don't even like.
Yes.
But we just have to produce it so that we are relevant, we stay relevant. So we don't want to have that kind of come to that point where you turn stale, your music becomes stale. Yeah. Yeah. So we decide that we want to, not to say we are finished, we are wasted, but we want to feel that we have completed. We have completed a product, just how movies end after three parts, after series ends after 20 episodes.
Yeah.
Ends after how many seasons? Nobody wants them to end, but it has to end.
To end.
Then when it ends, then you truly appreciate how brilliant
the whole
thing is. So brilliant. Brilliant Breaking Bad or whatever series. Game of Thrones, and then no matter how the ending disappoints
us. Well, don't get me started on Game of Thrones. Don't get me started on Game of Thrones. But I know what you mean. Like,
the completion, yeah. Then we feel that we need to have it or just die down and disappear.
Yeah.
And think of what we can have done next. Let's complete this now. Yeah. So that's the whole idea.
So if I understand you correctly, so you say like, okay, we still want to perform as much as possible, but we just don't have enough time to do all of that, which is obviously the problem with a lot of independent bands, right? I like the idea. I like the idea of saying, okay, we want to continue touring, but this is our body of work. We might change our set lists. We will sometimes play this stuff more, sometimes that song. But this is like X amount of songs. And out of those songs, you're going to hear 6-7 songs at a show. Interesting idea. But then, of course, the question must be, how far along are you, for example, for 2024 already in your touring plans? Have you already gigs lined up that we can now also tell the people to?
Oh, okay. Unfortunately, I think we were in contact with Basti from MOC.
Yeah.
Okay. Woman of
course. We were supposed to plan something in Europe in June. It didn't work out, so we had to choose a backup plan that we are going to China instead of Europe. Yeah, so we still look forward to do something in Europe if the chance come by. The last time we played in Europe was in Dunk Festival in Belgium.
So
we know we have some fans over in Europe. And we plan to win. Yeah, we are still finding the ways and means to be able to tour Europe. But in our current plans, in July, we are going over to China for probably 7-9 shows. Yeah, that's the plan as of now in June. Yeah.
That leads me to another question in general. You've just mentioned, you know, that there are a lot of fans of your band here in Europe. But how many shows for example, could you do in Indonesia, in Malaysia, in Singapore, in the Philippines? How vibrant or how lively is the post-rock scene there? Can you describe that a little bit?
Okay, I think post-rock scene is lively. But the touring scene is, I think, most of the time, bands from overseas, right? Mm. Bands from overseas, they would come to the region to play. So the scene is more like we have independent shows, but the biggest shows are usually reserved for overseas bands. They are more popular among the people in this region. So despite there being quite a number of really good local regional bands, they are still given only an independent platform, underground gigs and so on, not those huge, bigger shows. There isn't even a chance for them to open for the foreign bands because the organizers really particular. They want that quality. They don't want to mix it with local original acts. So foreign bands, even if they come, there will be two foreign bands playing instead of a mix of local and foreign bands playing. Yeah.
So, you know, when you go to China, will you go only with your band, or will you take another band, for example, from Singapore with you, or will the support acts, the opening acts, will those then be Chinese bands?
Okay, for this tour, it's not something not planned by us. Actually, we have a booking agent, actually, promoter. So he contacted us to have a tour last year, but we weren't able to do it. So we decided that since we weren't able to do it last year, why not try this year? So he's in the midst of planning right now. We don't have any intention to go with any band we know, but perhaps on his side, there might be some local bands opening, or maybe we are playing in some festival. We're not sure yet. We just confirmed the dates only. The route and the venues haven't yet been confirmed, but coming up soon.
So to give you the chance also to name drop a few bands from Singapore, which bands should we, that we might not know, which bands should we be checking out?
Okay.
Maybe every one of you guys gives us one band. Yeah.
Okay. I'll say,
Singapore.
Okay, just to set the context, but in Singapore, the post-rock scene has many sub-genres of post-rock. Yeah, and there's an atmospheric and there's a melodic like us. I would recommend Arajua. And there's also the technical math rock, such as
I Am David Sparkle.
Okay, that was heavier.
Post-metal,
really tight and heavy.
Yeah.
Post-rock.
Does Malaysia count as well? Singapore is what count?
Yeah, it does also count.
Malaysia band, definitely Deep Set for me. Okay. Deep Set, yeah.
Okay, and what I can say also for Malaysia, there are a few new good bands coming up. There's Ufuk Raya, there's Seru, and what else?
There's
Marsa. I think these few bands that we played with, and they're really good. They are younger than us, and they're really good. Marsa, Seru, and Ufuk Raya.
It's always important also to give young bands a platform, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, that's something that we also, of course, want to do with this. You know, we want to put a little light on the scene over there in Southeastern Asia. When you play shows in Singapore, how many people, because I really don't basically know anything about the scene over there, you know, like when you play a show in Singapore, yeah, how many people come? 50, 100, 200? How many?
It depends on who's playing.
And when you're playing?
If we are playing,
maybe 50 on average. But if it's 200, if we are the headliner, maybe a little bit more.
We last played in the annual festival back in
Baybeats,
October.
October.
Yeah. It's called Baybeats.
The annual independent.
This is organized by a so-called some government body in Singapore. So they will have more advertising, more funding,
more marketing.
So yeah, for that show, I think there were quite a few of,
thousands.
Yeah, probably
it's
thousands.
Festival.
Yeah. So it varies. It depends on the show. Some independent shows probably like what he said, maybe 50 to 100. If it's a bigger show, festival, probably yeah, can fetch a bit more. 1,000 probably, yeah. But on average, we usually perform on independent shows. So 50 to 100, 150 is the safe number. Yeah.
Sorry, but to be frank, I think as a Singaporean band, I think we don't have a huge following here. We have a bigger following outside of Singapore.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, it's a bit sad to say, but yeah, that's the truth. Yeah.
It's smaller numbers, yes. But I think quite strong. And strong that because our country itself is small and there's so many other types of music. I think they prefer Coldplay. I think sold out 6 days, sold out in minutes.
Seven
shows.
They do that also over here. But I know what you mean. So, you know, when you think about Tamat as like the final. And just to make that clear once again, because you've hinted at it. So at the moment you turn yourself into a touring band, you don't know what will be in 5-6 years down the road, right?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
So for everybody out there who's now sad that this might be the last Paint for Sky Red album, maybe when the guys are grandpas, they'll do another record for us.
Perhaps. But it might not be an album. Maybe
three
songs.
Yeah. three split or 2-way split.
Might be slower, less intense.
Yeah, but if you do 2 or 3 songs of the average length of Tamat, then it's still 24 minutes of music. So, you know, like.
That's a good idea.
That's fine with us. Fine with us. Guys, first of all, thanks for all the insight. But nobody leaves the Veil of Sound interviews without having to go through the quickfire round. So I'll give you 2 alternatives and you have to choose something like, okay, what do you like more? AC versus DC, Sydney versus Melbourne. Something like that, you know. But of course, it will all be related to music in your case. And I focused a little bit on like the post scene, of course.
Okay.
So everyone just gives a short answer to the following. Which band do you prefer? Mogwai or Godspeed, you Black Emperor?
Mogwai.
What?
Same.
Mogwai.
Everybody?
That's an easy one.
Okay. Ranges versus Caspian.
Caspian.
Now there will be the hard one, I think. Mono versus Explosions in the Sky.
Oh. Explosions.
Explosions for me.
Explosions.
No. Explosions.
Explosions.
Okay.
Explosions.
Yeah. Yeah. I can also see the parallel to your
band. Yeah.
Let's go back to the roots of post rock. Slint versus Talk Talk.
Oh, I've never. I only heard from these are the godfathers.
It's Slint for me, yeah.
Slint?
I don't know.
So the heavier side of your music is, of course, influenced by some bands. And I figured that two bands you might like, so you have to choose, between Russian Circles and Red Sparrows. So you see, we are getting heavier a little bit more at the moment. So Baroness versus Kailessa.
Right. Say again.
Baroness versus Kailessa. And the huge question among post metal fans is, of course, always Neurosis versus ISIS.
ISIS.
The Ocean versus Year of No Light.
Oh, wow.
The ocean.
Cult of Luna versus Cult of Luna versus Rosetta.
Oh, Rosetta.
Okay. And the last one, because I'm like, we have been talking about you as a band from Singapore, one of the places that we don't know much about and where the post-rock scene might not be that obvious for many people. I'll give you two bands from different countries here in Europe who also are really, really good, but I don't know too much about the post-rock scene in their countries. So God is an Astronaut from Ireland versus Tights from Nebula from Poland.
God is an Astronaut.
God is an astronaut. So, I also chose all of those European bands to maybe we get you in a package with one of these. I know that my friends in the Kinsella brothers over in Ireland, they always like to tour, you know, so for every booker out there, get yourself a nice exotic package from Singapore and Ireland. Bring them together in the middle of Europe.
Yeah.
So, guys, I know that you will have stage time in like 1.5 hours, so I don't want to keep you busy too much. Enjoy the show. Enjoy the rest of your evening, and thanks for all your time.
Thank you. Thank you, Thorsten. It's been nice talking to you.
Thank you. Bye bye.
See you in the future.
Thank you.